Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling the radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I am coming to you from Australia. As promised, we are broadcasting from down under this week, and we're literally on a boat with Poseidon Outer Reef Cruises. We've just completed three dives on the Great Barrier Reef. We're cruising back to shore. First time on the Great Barrier Reef. We're going to take you along for the ride, tell you a little bit about, you know, about the diving of what it's like here in Australia. Now, along for the ride is Mike. You might remember Mike from back in the day, part of M&M. They were the original Scuba Radio Mermaids. And Mike is with me here in Australia. Having fun so far, Mike?
Absolutely. What an adventure, Greg. Thanks for having me along. It was awesome.
You got it. Now, we didn't put Mike in a mermaid tail, so you won't see pictures of that. However, you will see a picture or two of yours truly and Mike experience some of the best diving that I have been doing in the 11 years of Scuba Radio, just after three dives here on the Great Barrier Reef. Truly spectacular. And as I said, we're out on a boat right now, cruising back to dock with Poseidon Outer Reef Cruises. I have the owner with us right now. How you doing?
Yeah, hi. Peter is my name.
Peter is the man behind this boat. And first of all, Peter, let's describe the vessel we're on, because this isn't typical diving of what we're used to in the States. This is a massive vessel, bigger than most liveaboards that you would spend a week on in the Caribbean. What do we have here? What are we on?
Okay, Poseidon 3, which we're on today, is a 24-meter aluminium catamaran, and we're licensed to carry 100 people. We generally limit that to about 80, and today there's about 60 people on board. It's a pretty typical day for this time of the year.
Yeah, now you say 60 people, I would have never guessed it, because there is so much room on this vessel. I was thinking there was like 20 or 30. It's just roomy. You got all the space you could ever imagine, and it makes for quite a dive platform for doing three tanks here today on the Great Barrier Reef. But this is a typical day here in Australia, I guess, huh?
Yeah, pretty much so. This time of the year, which is our summer and the northern winter, it's very much the best time to be on the Great Barrier Reef, because, as you can see, we've only got not even 5 knots of wind, beautiful warm water, plenty of sunshine. So definitely the best time of the year to be over here. And we cater for a complete mixture of types of diver. We go for the very experienced divers through to novices and a lot of snorkelers. Great majority of our people are snorkelers. A lot of them become divers after that experience.
And they can even cater to divers with special needs, like yours truly, and service us quite well. Poseidon Outer Reef Cruises is the name of the operation. It's out of Port Douglas, which is just north of Cairns, which is where we flew into initially for our adventure. We'll get into all that kind of stuff a little bit later on in the big show today. But Peter, this is we got crystal clear conditions as far as underwater and above water, 5 knots of winds, flat calm. How common is this for this time of year and for diving the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah, this is pretty typical of the summer months. We start in October. Generally, the beginning of October flattens out, and we get variable winds and very light northerly winds and beautiful temperature. Water temperature today was 26, 27 degrees Celsius. Air temperature is 30, 32, and that's just perfect conditions. This normally lasts right through till about Easter, with the exception of the very occasional cyclone, usually around about February, March. But
yeah, they got cyclones, we got hurricanes. They rotate one way, ours rotate another. Something like that, right?
Yep, exactly. Cyclonic depression is the technical term for it, and is exactly the same as a hurricane, except it spins the other way.
Yeah, just like the toilet water. But that's we'll get into that a little bit later on, Peter. But, you know, Peter was out on the dive with us today, and from what I can tell, Peter, you're just out here enjoying the sights yourself. I mean, you see, still seem to have that passion for the underwater world. I noticed you off drifting off into the blue and just kind of cruising out by yourself and just being at one with nature. Is that what you were doing or what?
Yeah, pretty much so. I try to get out on the boat at least twice a week, and I really enjoy my diving. Other days I'll snorkel because I enjoy snorkeling just as much as diving, and seems the best thing to do when you own a dive boat. It's silly not to come out on it.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, who would have figured that we'd be hanging with the owner of the vessel today? Mike?
I'm thinking he got word we were coming, Greg, and he needed to keep a close eye on you, at least.
Yeah, is that the deal, Peter? Is that what's going on, really?
Yeah,
okay, he doesn't want to say. Fair enough. I don't blame you either. He's obviously heard our show before. All right, so before we continue, let me get the website out there. It's www.poseidon-cruises.com.au. You can go there and check out information on Poseidon Outer Reef Cruises. But let's talk about what we saw underwater, because it was truly spectacular. This is literally my second time diving in the Pacific, let alone this part of the world. It's Mike's, I believe this is your first time in the Pacific, period, isn't it, Mike?
It sure is. What a wonderful surprise. Within minutes of diving in, there was a shark just kind of snoozing on the bottom, not your nurse shark like we're used to seeing off the coast of Florida. I believe it was a white tip, and we saw another one on the second dive. And the colors are what struck me as so different here. The abundance of the coral, the health, and how colorful they are.
Yeah, you know, not that it's necessarily better than what we see in all the diving we've seen in the Caribbean, but it's definitely different. That's what I noticed when we were in Fiji a few months ago, and it holds true here for the Great Barrier Reef. Truly spectacular colors catch your eye. The blues, in particular, of the staghorn coral and that kind of thing, truly impressive. Been shooting video. You'll see that up at scubaradio.com. Now, Dave is a professional underwater photographer that's working with Poseidon Outer Reef Cruises here and was along for the ride today, taking some shots. Dave, just out there cruising, having fun with Peter, the same thing? This is just like an off day for you?
Yes, but always looking for a good shot, and it's quite easy out here on the Agincourt Reefs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we saw today, sharks, tons of coral, all the color, very typical type of thing. These giant clam things, those are quite impressive. We don't see those in the Caribbean. And of course, the clownfish. Those are the common things that everybody looks for when they're coming here for the first time. And, of course, we've marked those off the list for sure as far as shooting video and still shots. But what about you? What do you look for, being that you've dived here many times over the years and, you know, or obviously have a huge library of images as an underwater photographer?
I think you hit it on the button earlier, Gary.
Greg.
Sorry.
I've been called a lot of four-letter words, and I'll take Gary over many others that we can't say on the radio. So, but it is Greg.
Okay.
Fair enough, right, Dave?
Yeah. Yes.
You can relate. You got a four-letter word name there, too.
Yep, no problem.
All right. So, but you were saying?
Yeah, every place is different. It's got its own unique thing to show the rest of the world. I'd love to dive the Caribbean, and that's on the list. To be here in Port Douglas, it's obviously very convenient for me and my family to have such beautiful reef systems adjacent to where we live. It's only an hour and 40 minutes and I'm in the water, and it's full of surprises. Today, with the sharks and with the current running and the soft corals coming out blooming over the reef with those large gorgonian fans, it was quite a sight today with that 25 meter plus visibility.
Yes, it was a truly impressive viz, and just conditions topside and below water. And like every place we've gone to in the past, there's always an underwater critter that is a local favorite, a star, so to speak, for the photographers like myself or video takers, you know, and that kind of thing. And of course, on a, I believe it was that our first dive? Yeah, the first dive, we had this massive fish, green, speckled-looking, striped thing. I don't know. What kind of critter was that there, Dave?
I don't know. You tell me, Gary. That sounds like a new species to me.
Well it's Greg, but that's okay, too. And I don't know what kind of species. It was some kind of... You had the... What was that? What does Peter know? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, there it is. A Maori wrasse.
Yes, it's a Maori wrasse. Another name for its Napoleon wrasse. They change sex through their life cycle, and today there were two. There was one that was a male, the smaller one.
Yeah, and the female definitely was attracted to us, because we're males, right? I'm guessing.
Exactly, yes, yes, yes.
We got it going on, Dave. You hear what I'm saying? At least underwater with different species. You know, that's usually how it works for me, at least.
That's right. And as they go through their life cycle, they change sex, the larger one being the female. And this particular Napoleon wrasse is very friendly, comes right up to the divers and snorkelers. The colours on its face are quite unique, and that's probably why it's called a Maori wrasse. Those patterns resemble the tattoos of a Maori warrior.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. And that's a Maori warrior. Is that an Aborigine thing you made, or no? I don't know.
That's an indigenous New Zealander.
Ah, okay, fair enough. So, and this was a big girl, though, too. I mean, I'm taking, what was that, at least a 70, 80-pound fish minimum, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, and so graceful. And to be able to take a photograph of a fish like that in such close quarters is a photographer's dream.
Absolutely, and I got some great video thanks to Dave's wrasse wrangling for me for the shots. It was truly an impressive encounter. And, you know, this is our first day in Australia. That's what's shocking about this whole thing. Now, you mentioned being in Port Douglas on the northeastern side of Australia is where we're based out of this week. And, you know, you mentioned an hour and a half boat ride, which, you know, for folks in Florida, for us, that's a long boat ride. But this is not typical diving for what we're used to in the Caribbean. I mean, we may have shorter boat rides, but we're not riding around in luxury on a vessel like this. Is that you're spoiled rotten? You hear what I'm saying, Dave?
Definitely. The vessel is unique for this area in its design. The Great Barrier Reef offers us great protection. When it's blowing 25 to 30 knots, you'll get a 3-meter swell on the outside of the reef, but that'll come down to about a 1.5-1.6 inside the channel. And Poseidon's hull design is unique. It's very stable. It can handle seas like this very easily. And that hour and a half goes very quickly.
Yeah, it does feel like we're on a cruise ship as opposed to a dive vessel. That's what I want to get across here to the listeners back home. You know, what we did was three tanks, you know, basically an 8-to-5 type of dive schedule. They include lunch. It's literally live aboard diving in a day trip. You know, I mean, if you want to kind of just get an idea of what live aboard diving's like, this is a really good example of what you could encounter in a situation like that, don't you think?
Definitely. I always look forward to lunch.
And they didn't disappoint, for sure.
Yeah, I love those prawns and the cold buffet they put out. After those two dives, you do get those hunger pains, and with the third dive in the afternoon to finish the day off.
Yeah, hey, it's good stuff. We're having a good day, as they say in Australia, and we got more coming up next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
We got all kinds of sharks in Australia, trendsetters. We got sharks from the hospital, grey nurse. We got carpenter sharks, hammerheads, sharks that work for the council, shovel nose. We got sharks that rip you off for your drugs. No, they're fish, stonefish. We got fish that fill you up, gropers. We got them all. We got pudding in your vagina fish, box jellyfish.
Yes, we are getting down in Australia, down under to be specific. We're out diving today with Poseidon Outer Reef Cruises. Poseidon-cruises.com.au is the website. You can check out information on their day dives that they have. Three tank dives, as you just heard Dave describe on the other side of the break there. You do two dives in the morning. You break for lunch. Have a really nice lunch, which included prawns today. It was awesome. And then you do a third dive, and then you cruise back to the reef, and that's what we're back to the dock in Port Douglas, and that's what we're doing right now, and reminiscing on our dive. It was truly spectacular stuff, don't you think, Mike?
Absolutely. World-class diving and great service to boot. Can't beat it.
Well worth the trip.
Now, we are going to talk to some of the passengers on board. We've already met some people from all over. I think there's some folks from Canada that we're going to try to sync up with and get their experience on board this vessel, because I believe this was one of their first dives as certified divers, and definitely going right for the gold, right at the top there. And we'll get their two cents here in just a bit. But Peter is the owner of this vessel here with Poseidon Cruises. And Peter, the reef in particular was truly spectacular. And I know we were talking on the way out there as you were introducing us to the Great Barrier Reef, so to speak, on the pristine state of the reef, despite the fact that, you know, you hear all this stuff about global warming. What is going on, in that regard here in Australia?
Well, as far as we can see on our local reefs, the Agincourt reefs, they're in exactly the same condition now as they were 30 years ago when I first started diving on them. If anything, they've improved, because we have a very good management system here where fishing is strictly regulated, and there's also a lot of effort made to improve the water quality inside the reef. The way they do that is to encourage farmers not to clear riverbanks, to not use too much fertilizer, and generally try and prevent unnecessary pollutants getting into the water. Now, we feel that if the reef is kept in good condition, it has a much, much better chance of surviving any future climate change if it should happen. And certainly at the moment we're not seeing any signs of that. And we hope and pray that it'll stay pretty much the way it is now.
Yeah, well, I mean, just our experience so far in Australia, I mean, just the people, and you see a lot of environmentally conscious messages out there in the advertising on TV, in print, and, you know, with the resorts that we've been staying at, they all have kind of a green initiative effort that they're pushing strongly. And that was presented here on the vessel this morning when we went through the dive briefing. I mean, it was very thorough. Don't touch the reef, you know, leave only bubbles type of thing. And very thorough and you felt safe that you guys really do run a top-notch operation in that regard.
Well, thanks for that, Greg. We certainly try to look after everybody, whatever their ability. And we also take great care to conserve the reef itself. You may have noticed we use massive moorings when we tie up. We don't anchor on the reef except as a last resort. And we're very, very conscious of not causing any damage while we're out here. We're all passionate about the reef. All the people working on this boat are dedicated to what they're doing. It's not just a job. They're here because they love diving. So we all have the same common interest to keep things as good as we possibly can.
Yeah, and, you know, we mentioned earlier on today's ride, there's evidently 60 people on board with snorkelers and divers. And not only is it the vessel so big and you don't have plenty of space, but they break everyone up into groups, make sure that, the different skill levels are kind of matched up together. And you don't feel crowded. You don't feel like a cattle boat by any stretch of the imagination, even though the numbers are quite impressive, way more than what we experience, for instance, in Florida or the Caribbean. What do you think?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Greg. The reason the boats have to be so large here is because of the distance that we travel. We travel about 40 nautical miles to get to the outer reef. That distance in itself is also a great protection for the reef, as it means that the coral is quite a long way offshore, and not many recreational fishermen get out there to catch fish. And the downside of that is you do need a fairly large seaworthy vessel to go that distance.
And I think you guys have done a good job here with Poseidon Cruises. Once again, it's poseidon-cruises.com.au. We're going to talk to some passengers next, I believe, on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. It's all coming up from Down Under. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. Just completed our first three dives on the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. Greg the Dive Master here on the Poseidon 3 Day Cruiser. Once again, it's poseidon-cruises.com.au. Now, Fiona is one of the passengers on board, one of our dive buddies, as we experience the Great Barrier Reef today. She's from Canada. How you doing, Fiona? Welcome to Scuba Radio.
Thanks. I'm doing fine.
Now, she is doing fine because she's on her honeymoon, and she decided to spend it out here on the Great Barrier Reef doing a little diving in between God knows what, but I don't think we can talk about that, can we?
No, I'd prefer it if you didn't.
Okay, fair enough. Now, Canada, you came all the way to Australia from Canada. Why exactly?
Well, I have a good friend here who was my maid of honor, and she flew all the way to Canada for my wedding, and so it was only fair after 10 years of her sort of nagging me to come down to Australia for us to come down here for our honeymoon. We haven't regretted it since.
Fair enough. Now, she's not spending the honeymoon with you, though, I'm guessing, is she?
No, she's not.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, that would be a little freaky, but hey, whatever happens down under stays down under, or something like that. I've heard that before. Now, Fiona, the diving. You're a certified scuba diver, but this is one of your first dives, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Still very new.
So you got certified in Canada, where the average temperature was what underwater?
Well, when I got certified in open water in Lake Chaparral, Calgary, with the dive shop. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Go.
I think the water was about 17 degrees. Something.
Ouch.
Like that. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you would dry suit diving, I'm guessing, right?
No, it was wetsuit.
What?
It was wetsuit. I think the other option other than Lake Chaparral was Lake Minnewanka, which is a glacial lake in Banff, and I'm assuming that would be a dry suit.
Okay, so you're talking about 17 degrees Celsius, obviously, right?
Yeah.
What is that in, like, English? I don't know. You know?
Well, there's a...
It's cold, right?
Yeah, very cold.
Okay, serious shrinkage issues involved. But not here in Australia. We got great, you know, Caribbean tropical type conditions here. What'd you think? Were you impressed or what?
Yeah, the water has been amazingly warm, and I was a bit nervous because it is the ocean, but it's been so warm and comfortable. It's been excellent.
Yeah, it's good stuff indeed. All right, hold on. We got to talk to her more about her first time experiencing the Great Barrier Reef next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, my name is Max. Please keep listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This baby's gonna put me through college.
You're way off. I say you're way off this time, son.
And now, here's my dad, Greg the Dive Master.
Thanks, Max. And you know, Fiona, you're gonna have one of those before no time, maybe about 9 months from now. But that's a whole nother story. We don't want to go there right now, do we?
No, no, especially if my parents are listening.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, Fiona is spending her honeymoon here in Australia, and we just happen to be sharing the dive vessel, the Poseidon 3, today. This is one of her first certified dives. You were saying it was truly spectacular. Was it easier than what you expected, or was it, you know, what were your expectations when you came here?
I was definitely nervous, but it was a lot easier than I thought it would be, and you know, the people were very good about guiding us, or guiding me, seeing that I was very new, and all the other people that were new certified divers. They were very good at showing us the best spots and keeping it very safe and good. So it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. So.
Yeah, well, that's great, and it should be. You're on vacation, having a good time, and, you know, I guess it's time to get back to the dock so you can enjoy your surface interval. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much.
And it is going well, right?
Yeah, it's been...
As if it's not, I got Oliver over here who might be able to fill in if yeah, but that everything's good, right?
Yeah, definitely. Everything's going really well.
All right, well, thank you, Fiona. Now, Oliver is another one of the passengers on board. Oliver, what's your dive experience here? Or first of all, where are you from?
I'm from London, in obviously the UK. I had diving experience-wise, I'd never done it before, so this is the first time ever.
Really? Did you get checked out here on the boat here? You got your certification here, or are you in the process of doing that?
I haven't got a certification at all. It was just a introductory dive that I did, and I managed two dives today, first introductory dive, and then the secondary dive, and spent a bit more time underwater then, so yeah.
Excellent. So the first time underwater, period. So what were your expectations? Were you afraid? Were you a little nervous about this whole thing? Were you excited or what?
Excited, probably, more than anything. I've heard of people getting nervous about it, but I didn't see, you know, I just wanted to get under there and see what it was all about. But it's totally different from I imagined, because you sort of get underwater and navigating your way underwater is very different, you know, through the sort of the goggles, etc. Everything seems to be a lot closer than it actually is.
So. Yeah, exactly. 25% larger, 33% there. That's a good thing for guys. You hear what I'm saying, Oliver?
Yep.
It's a good way to impress the chicks. You don't tell them about that. You know what I'm saying. Absolutely. Now, as far as your expectations of doing this, I remember when I first jumped in the water for the first time, I felt like I was in a fish tank. Yes. I mean, is that kind of what you experienced, or claustrophobic type thing, or what?
Totally. It was a bit like being in a fishbowl, but I was completely blown away by it. And it was very interesting, you know, sort of seeing it from a 3D perspective rather than actually snorkeling and seeing it from the top of the water, as it were. So, yeah, it was absolutely wonderful seeing the reef.
But it's a whole new world, isn't it?
Yeah. Totally.
And now, what about this? Where are you going to take it from here? Are you going to do this for a few more days, or what are you thinking?
I'm not at the moment, because I've actually got to go back to Sydney for a while, but I've certainly been considering doing some diving and maybe doing my certificate from here on in, because that was really a great taster. I don't know how I'm going to beat that, though. Maybe some shipwrecks next time. I don't know.
Maybe some what? Shipwrecks, right? Yeah, that's what he said, shipwrecks. Let's just get that straight, just in case the censors are listening. It was shipwrecks. That was a UK accent. But hey, it's all good. It's all good in the hood or something like that. Yeah. Okay, well, it's time to take advantage of some of the surface interval activities they have here in Australia, the Port Douglas area. There's a rainforest, a World Heritage Site. We're going there, and you're going to hear all about it next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close. More coming from down under.
Scuba Radio. Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving, oh, amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Caverns, blue holes, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right already, what is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas, Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. CoralCavernsResort.com.
Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 204. Whale sharks are neither whales nor sharks. Wait, apparently whale sharks are in the shark species. The largest sharks.
You genius! You've done it again!
Thanks, writers, you idiots. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Jeff Myers, the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. How you doing today, Jeff?
Feeling great, Greg.
You sure?
Yeah, positive. Why?
Well, sometimes divers aren't quite sure how they're feeling or why they may be feeling that way.
You mean like when they're not feeling quite right and aren't sure whether they're experiencing decompression on us?
Exactly. I was wondering if you could help us with that. Want to run through how divers can recognize DCI?
Absolutely.
Let's start with what DCI actually is.
DCI is decompression illness, which is actually an umbrella term that includes both decompression sickness and arterial gas embolism. Decompression sickness, or DCS, is caused by nitrogen bubbles that form at depth and expand as the diver ascends. The expansion causes circulation blockage, which in turn produces symptoms that indicate a problem. An arterial gas embolism, or AGE, is when the lungs overexpand and force air bubbles into arterial circulation. From there, AGE can enter cardiac or cranial circulation and produce symptoms that mirror heart attacks and strokes.
Why the umbrella term? Why not just know whether you're dealing with decompression sickness or an arterial gas embolism?
Because the signs and symptoms of both are really similar, as well as the first aid treatment. Medical professionals will need to diagnose which specific form of DCI they're treating, but there's really no difference as far as rescuers and first aid providers are concerned. So rather than waste time trying to differentiate between two conditions that follow the same first aid protocols and need for medical treatment, we're encouraging divers simply to focus on recognizing the signs and symptoms of overall decompression illness.
So what are the signs and symptoms?
Some of the more common signs include numbness and tingling, joint or muscle pain, headaches, dizziness, fatigue, nausea, difficulty walking, or altered skin sensation.
If I went by that list, I think I'd have DCI after every dive. I mean, I'm always tired at the end of the dive day, and more than once I've been sore after toting tanks.
You're absolutely right, and you make a great point. Some of the signs and symptoms can be vague and a bit cryptic, but you have to think in terms of how you normally feel versus how you feel when the symptoms occur. Sure, most of us are tired after a dive, but if you're feeling fatigued to the point you can hardly move, or if getting some rest doesn't leave you refreshed, that's outside what you'd consider normal. Numbness and tingling are generally not considered a normal state, so again, consider that a red flag. Joint pain, yes, can be one of the trickier symptoms.
So how do you know?
Well, if the symptoms occur within 24 hours of your last dive, that's cause for concern. If you start first aid protocols and find the symptoms subside while on oxygen only to return when the oxygen is discontinued, that's another cause for concern.
Are there any other symptoms we need to be aware of?
Well, the list I gave you are the most common symptoms, but other DCI signals are rashes and itching, difficulty breathing, visual and speech disturbance, personality changes, hearing loss, paralysis, muscle twitches, and unconsciousness.
Yeah, I could see how someone passing that on you could be considered a sign of something's wrong.
It's one of the less cryptic symptoms, that's for sure.
Do you have to experience all the symptoms to have DCI?
No, and it's rare you'll experience more than a few. In fact, it's often only one or two symptoms that give you the hint that something is wrong.
So what happens if you do experience symptoms?
The first thing is to recognize that you're experiencing possible DCI symptoms. A lot of divers go into denial about it, But this is the worst thing you can do. The sooner DCI is diagnosed and treatment started, the better your chances of a full recovery.
In other words, don't let pride get in the way.
Do not let pride get in the way. There's absolutely no shame in DCI, and smart divers get help when they need it.
What kind of help will divers need?
Get on oxygen as soon as possible. The use of emergency oxygen has proven effective in helping to treat DCI. So if you have access to it, use it.
And then?
Get yourself to a medical facility or call Dan. The medics on our diving emergency hotline can help walk you through the steps you need to take and facilitate the assistance you need. If you know where to go, get Dan in the loop so we can support the medical staff. If you don't, we can find a medical facility for you. If you're not able to transport yourself to medical care, we can arrange that for you.
Does having DCI mean an automatic chamber ride?
No, it doesn't, but it might, so assume nothing.
Chamber rides aren't really as bad as you might think. I did one last time I was at Dan.
Yeah, I remember. Didn't you do it as part of your broadcast from depth?
Yeah, we did, but it surprised me how little there is to worry about. I mean, I think if you're not familiar with it, the prospect of having hyperbaric treatment sounds huge and scary and more trouble than it's worth. But actually, it's kind of cool and definitely nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. A lot of divers delay seeking treatment because they don't want to believe anything is wrong with them. They don't want to bother anyone. They think seeking treatment is a huge, dramatic deal, when the truth is that the professionals helping them are experts, and they'll do everything they can to minimize the drama for you. And it's why they're there, to help. So divers really should never hesitate to seek assistance if they need it.
Is there anything divers can do to avoid DCI?
Sure. Stay within your dive limits. Do slow, safe ascents. Do your safety stops. Take your surface intervals. Stay hydrated. Get plenty of rest. And just take care of yourself in general.
Anything else?
Yeah. Remember that no diver, no matter how experienced or how careful, is immune to DCI. Any diver can experience it at any time. So if you start to experience signs and symptoms, don't guess and don't wait. Get yourself the medical care you'll need.
The signs and symptoms of DCI may be vague, but the steps to take if you experience them aren't. If you have any signs that you may have a case of DCI, do not delay. Seek medical attention and treatment. Smart divers know that the earlier they do that, the better off they are. So be one of the smart ones. Take care of yourself and encourage others to do the same. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Okay, we are back in Australia here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master in on the edge of the rainforest. That's right, it's a World Heritage site. We're going to talk about that here in just a bit. Mike, we're having quite an adventure, though, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely, Greg. I mean, a great day of diving. Came back to this lush resort. We're hanging out. I don't know if the listeners can hear in the background all the tropical birds just hanging out, chirping for us. It's like our own private serenade.
It is. It's quite an impressive surface interval we're experiencing here in Port Douglas, here in Australia. But we got to backtrack just a little bit before we get into the rainforest and talk about the resort. And because we did the Cairns Zoo literally 15 minutes once we got off the plane in Cairns, Australia, we went to a zoo and held a koala bear.
Oh, it was awesome. It was, you know, the one thing you think about being typical of a visit to Australia is holding on to a koala bear. And like you said, literally 15 minutes off the plane, hey, we're going to the Cairns Tropical Zoo. And we met the nice people over there. Sheila took great care of us. And within minutes, there we are holding the koala.
Yeah, just do a Google search on Cairns Tropical Zoo and you can find out all about it. More coming up from Australia next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI,
the way the world learns to dive.
Than sitting around getting your mouth numb, what did you do? On the, I mean, do you like snorkel? Do you windsurf?
No, I went scuba diving.
Oh man! Okay. Now, are you a licensed registered?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
And saw sharks.
Oh my God!
This is my, I love sharks. One of my obsessions.
How close do you get to the
seeing sharks? I love to go and see them. Quite close, and as long as you stay calm, they just sort of circle.
Really?
Do you scuba dive?
No, you know, I did it. I tried it. Some people taught me in a pool in New Jersey. Honest to God. God, years ago at like the Hilton in New Jersey, and
didn't like it.
Well, it's very claustrophobic.
Well, in a pool.
Well, I mean, but all of the, you got all that. Yeah, but the sharks.
It is actually claustrophobic. That feeling of
yeah. And if something goes haywire, then all of that stops.
I am a diver, sea, lake, or river. I'm not gonna stop. I gotta have water. I am a diver. I do not fake it. I feel alive when I'm scuba diving. I am a diver, sea, lake, or river. I'm not gonna stop. I gotta have water. I am a diver. I do not fake it. I feel alive when I'm scuba diving.
All right, we are back in Australia. Greg the Dive Master, Mike hanging out with me. You remember him from Eminem. They were the original scuba radio mermaids, but that's a whole nother story. We'll save for another show. But we are down under enjoying our surface interval after a day of diving on the Great Barrier Reef, and our accommodations have been top-notch here in Port Douglas. We have Mariana to thank for that. Welcome to Scuba Radio.
Yeah, hello, everybody.
Now, the resort we're staying at, first of all, the name of it is?
Shantara Resort and Spa.
And it's a couples resort, so you don't allow kids. However, it's a great place if you want to come dive with your dive buddy or bring your spouse, whatever the case may be.
Definitely. We cater for anyone that wants to come up here and wants to dive or snorkel, whatever. Come and see us, shantara.com.au.
Okay, very good. And you're right on the border of the Great Barrier Reef and the rainforest as well. So you got some incredible surface interval stuff to do as well.
20 minutes from the rainforest, which you can actually swim in the rainforest. We've got beautiful gorge in there. And from there you can take some great walks and perhaps see a few things like snakes or...
Snakes, birds, parrots. You know, we're serenaded each evening by a flock of flying parrots and all kinds of wacky critters. It's you feel at one in nature here. It's quite impressive.
We're a natural theme park. Everything, if you want to experience the Great Barrier Reef, if you want to experience the rainforest, it's not made by man, but it's made naturally, and you'll see it. You'll see it all when you're here.
Yeah, and it's not roughing it by any stretch of the imagination. These are fully equipped apartment-type accommodations, right?
You can have a hotel room, so if you just want something casual and small and just do your own thing, that's fine. Otherwise, we can give you a beautiful large apartment with a spa bath, king bed, full kitchen, so you can do some cooking if you want to. But we're sitting here tonight by the barbecue area, which... You can barbecue too if you want to, so it's entirely up to you.
Yeah, it's a great place to spend your service interval and be in between the rainforest and the reef. It's top-notch for sure. All right, look, we're going to go to the rainforest in hour two of Scuba Radio. Stick around, more coming up from down under.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.